You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. For 30 years, Jesus had seen young men get angry, lose their temper, shed blood, and have their blood shed in return. For 30 years, Jesus had seen bored housewives and eager men destroy years of marriage for moments of pleasure, leaving their children ashamed of their parents. For 30 years, Jesus had seen witnesses say, oh yes, that's the way it was, where their cheeks turned pink and their eyes looked away. For 30 years, Jesus had seen guilt, shame, and deception. So after 30 years, he picks up his royal sword and points its tip at the human heart. He begins with that line, you have heard that it was said to those of old, and repeats it throughout the speech. You have heard that it was said to those of old. Just because something's old doesn't mean that it's true. Just because something's popular doesn't mean that it's true. There are plenty of things that you've heard for years or hear all the time, and they're simply not true. At every funeral, you can hear somebody say, he was a good person or she was a good person. So they're in a better place. It sounds nice, but it's not true to what's in this book. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None are righteous. No, not one. Grace comes as a free gift, so that none may boast. Sure, some people are a little nicer than other people. Ryan mentioned Hawaii. I was going to mention Hawaii too, so let's do it. It's as if we said, all right, we're going to go down to the coast, going to go down to Rockport, and we're all going to go swim to Hawaii together. And, you know, some of you are probably better swimmers than others. Some of you would get about 18 feet in the water and you drowned. I think I could probably make it about 100 yards out and then I would drown. Maybe a couple of you could make it, what, 500 yards out and then you drown. I'm sure some of us are better swimmers than others, but on our own strength, we're all still going to drown. It's only by a merciful gift of God that he scoops us out, puts us on a cruise ship to Hawaii. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, but I say to you, and here Jesus shows his authority. You have heard that it was said to those of old, but I say to you, he doesn't rely on nostalgic traditions or citing popular teachers. He doesn't make reasoned arguments or try lofty rhetoric. He simply speaks the word of God to the human situation. The rabbis had taught that anger, short of murder, was perfectly fine. You're going to get angry, you're going to get angry. There's nothing wrong with anger, as long as you didn't kill somebody. They taught that the law was over the human hands, not over the human hearts. That the law protected your body, but not your soul. But there's not much hope for a world when God only speaks to those with blood-covered hands. There is much more hope for a world where God has a word for those who are about to lose their temper before they give birth to murder. Where God has a word to those in lust before they end up divorced. Where God has a word to those about to deceive before they are condemned. Goes on in verse 27 and following with those exciting words about if your eyes cause you to sin, pop them out. Your hand causes you to sin, knock it off, right? If the heart is the fountainhead of sin, then the eyes would be that crack in the ground that the sin comes in through. I invite you to spend the rest of your day looking at things and people without coveting any of them. Go sit down there at the corner of 290 and 77 and watch that shiny new Lexus on its way to Houston and stare at it without desiring it. Go find some big old fancy house. Camp out in their front yard for a while. You can tell them I sent you. And stare at it without wishing it was yours. Go to the restaurant when you're going to order your hamburger and see somebody order steak and shrimp and just slide the plastic and just stare at it. Watch them eat that steak without coveting it. Try it. It'll ruin your day. Jesus speaks figuratively when he says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. People throughout the years have taken it literally. Christians have popped out eyeballs. Christians have cut off hands, seeking to be obedient to Jesus, taking it literally. And you probably think that's taking it way too far. It's just Bible after all. But the problem with a literal interpretation is not that it takes it too far, but that it doesn't take it far enough. Because if you're sinning with an eye and you pop out one eye, come on, you can still sin with the other. If your hand's causing you to sin and you cut off one sin, you can cut off one hand, you can sin with the other. If you really want to be a good student and you pop out both eyeballs and then go ahead and cut off both hands, you're still going to sin with your mind. Even mutilation does not extinguish desire. Even chopping off body parts doesn't fix your heart. And then, since Jesus is just saying popular words everybody wants to hear, he goes right into divorce, which is always a fun topic with a mixed crowd. But my job's never been to say what I want, but just what's in here. And in Jesus' day, many rabbis taught that you could divorce your spouse for any reason at all, as long as you just wrote something down. The most popular example was that you could divorce your wife even if she burnt your breakfast once. So ladies, watch that bacon. And the catch was, people were looking at the law and just thinking, what's the bare minimum I need to do to get by? Sure, I want to follow the Lord, but what's the bare minimum of heart change I need to make? And I still hear that all the time. I can still get into heaven if I live with my boyfriend, right? I can still be a Christian and get drunk on the weekends, right? I can still be a Christian and not go to church, right? It's looking for that bare minimum of what you need to get by instead of putting your heart on the table and letting it be changed. And Jesus issued the countercultural teaching that divorce is only for marriages that have already been ruined by sexual infidelity. And throughout the years, that's what the church has taught. Christians have always had countercultural teaching on divorce. Christians have always had countercultural teaching on marriage. Christians have always had countercultural teaching on sexual behavior. The world has changed. The sins have not. And God's word has not. Then he goes on to oaths. You only have to take oaths when people doubt your word. It's when you say something that's hard to believe. Killed myself a 30-point buck. Didn't want to use a bullet, so I just jumped out of the tree and slit its throat with my pocket knife. It's only when you're exaggerating maybe a bit, when people don't quite believe you, that you then have to add God's certain truth. I promise. If every time you said something and nobody doubted it, you wouldn't need oaths. It's like when the husband says to his wife, "Honey, if I've said I'll do it, I'll do it. You don't need to remind me every 6 months." But if the yes was yes, or a no was no, there wouldn't be any questions. Listen, our world says all the time, all day long, follow your heart. And Jesus invites us to follow him. Our king stretches out his royal scepter and places it over even the darkest, dirtiest, dingiest parts of the human heart, and there declares his law sovereign over even those hidden little recesses. When we no longer let our hearts run wild and let shame and guilt make their judgments over our hearts and minds, but we let our hearts be severed and healed by God's law, we get the joy of seeing lives not ruined by anger, of seeing relationships not destroyed by lust and divorce, of seeing human trust not shattered by deception. For 30 years, Jesus had seen the pain caused by the human heart. And so he finally lifts his royal sword, places his tip on each of our hearts, holds it still, and says, "Come to me. Come to me. Come to me."